May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, some of you, I think, came to hear her speak. Kate Faulkner, Melissa Beegler's daughter. Kate's been around here for many years. She came to speak with us about her visit to the Episcopal Church General Convention. Every 3 years, representatives from the entire Episcopal Church across the United States come together and they vote on legislation for the whole church, and they discuss and pray over issues that are confronting the entire Episcopal Church. So she came to share some of what she had heard and experienced there. And she was talking about how the church faces all of the difficult things in the world that the church is called to see and to bring love into. And she said, it starts with how we pray. Because if we don't pray, there's nothing after that. If we don't pray, there's nothing after that. And in my head, when I heard her say that, it was like a lot of static was cleared. All the sound and fury of things that are happening outside and things that are happening inside of ourselves. The first task is just to pray. And all of the rest will come after that. Kate's words to me sounded like permission to let prayer matter and to let it count. So James, our first reading today, that seems to be how James thought about prayer. We don't know a lot about James. In the text history, scholars aren't exactly sure who this was or when this got written or even what exactly it is. It's not a letter like the letters that Paul wrote, which were to specific communities addressing particular concerns. James's letter is sort of a general guidance sheet on how we practice a faith. Some scholars think James is Jesus' brother. So you could imagine James and Jesus worshiping together and doing their Jewish life together, and maybe James just wrote down some pro tips for how you practice, and then we get them through this letter. It's very short, and I recommend it. If you have time, look it up online or in your Bible and read the whole thing. It's good stuff. What we do know about James is he's back to basics. He's very focused on the daily practices of our faith. He reminds us of the simple things. Care for people who are poor or who are in need. Value yourself appropriately. And James is interesting in that he reminds us not to overvalue ourselves, but he's also very specific to remind us not to undervalue ourselves either. He reminds us not to get distracted by cravings and the holograms of the temptations of worldly life, to grow in our patience, and in the first instance, to pray. And we saw in our reading today, this reading comes actually at the very end of the letter. Pray in all things. If you're suffering, if you're celebrating, pray in a group, pray alone. You cannot exhaust God with your prayers. Early in the letter, James says, anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. So God can take all of your prayers all the time, and God does not keep track of how much you are asking for or what you're asking for. God is just generously pouring out wisdom, and it's for us to become open to receive it. And without that step, nothing comes after. There can be lots of some things that are happening, lots of activity, lots of thinking, lots of worrying, lots of feelings and swirling. And it's not that those things aren't real, but maybe if they're not gathered in some prayer and attention to God, they can amount to nothing. Ecclesiastes would call that vapor. It's futile. It's a lot of work, and it's not getting us anywhere. Whereas a really simple way to just reconnect to true creativity, God's creativity, is integrating prayer practices and just taking a pause to pray. I know in my own life, sometimes prayer feels awkward. Does anyone else have that experience of prayer feeling challenging? Yeah. A couple of people are like, absolutely. I find it difficult to get into sometimes. And then if I'm in my head, am I doing it wrong? Am I doing it long enough? Does this count, what I'm doing? And I think James would say, no, you're not doing it wrong. No, it doesn't need to take a long time. You're doing it long enough. And yes, what you're doing counts. James does not get into specifics in his letters reminding us to pray, but he encourages us. He names opportunities where we might incorporate a moment of prayer, which is pretty much everything. So yesterday I was at the women's retreat for part of the day. We have an amazing group of women. I know you already know that. But what was really beautiful was to see how intergenerational the gathering is. There were people who had just graduated from college, ranging up to grandmas, and everyone was praying together and going for hikes and just being together. It was just beautiful to see. But I was in a conversation about justice work, and so many women expressed, I should be doing more, I'm not doing enough. And I thought, I wonder if we bring that mantra, a lot of us, into our prayer life as well. Like, automatically, we try it, but we feel like it's not enough. We should be doing more. We should be doing this more often. I didn't pray at all last week. You know, whatever, like that, you bring that self-flagellation into your prayer life, and it's we kind of cut ourselves off from being available to God's generosity that James reminds us of. You and your prayers are enough. And the hope is that when you come here and we do Eucharist together, you're reminded that you are worthy to stand before God. God has done that work already to make you worthy. You and your prayers are sufficient. We don't say that a seed is not enough because it's in the process of sprouting. And we don't say that a baby's not enough because it's in the process of growing. That's ridiculous. So that's how you are. We're all in the process of growing. God is generating new life in us all the time. And we are enough exactly as we are. And also we are in the process of growth. To spend time in prayer is not to spend time in stagnation or avoidance. It's part of our faithful growth process. So I wonder in the upcoming weeks, whatever patterns you are in your prayer life, maybe you could explore either recommitting to what you're already doing or trying something different, refreshing it a little bit. In this space, in our worship, as you've noticed, we're trying some different things with prayer and inviting some more of your creativity and words in our prayers of the people together, reintegrating, working with the psalm, singing some of our prayers, just trying to help our hearts connect in new ways to this very important way of communicating with God that Jesus and James practiced. In my own life, a couple of weeks ago, you know, I work here part-time and then I work regular job in the world. And you know, your schedule just gets so busy. I know probably 100% of you can relate to that. And I woke up one morning and felt like I am losing myself. I'm losing the thread of what really matters, because I can fill 100% of my time with the things that pass, and we all can do that. And I was feeling a little desperate, and I pulled out the Book of Common Prayer, and I flipped past the daily offices and found the little section of daily devotions for individuals and families. They're shorter, and it felt like something I could take on, I could do. And so that's what I've been using, and I marked them in the book on the commons, and they're just toward the front. They're great. It's just some short prayers that if you want to experiment with, I recommend. For me, I've latched on to Psalm 51, the excerpt, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And what I'm trying to do is fold that into my days when I can feel myself getting really spun or over-focusing on some of the things I like to obsess on. Just taking a pause and reciting that little prayer and maybe a little something more from the book. And it's helpful to refocus my attention. I like to think that's the kind of practice James is inviting for us. And I just give that as a possible example you might want to experiment with. At a minimum, it interrupts all the noise and creates space for God to operate in me. And I'm hopeful that it can be fun. I put out a bunch of books on the table. If you'd like to flip through just for ideas, feel free to take pictures of anything or anything inside any of them that you want to keep. And if words aren't it, contemplation, meditation, walking, a lot of people find coloring, those detailed pictures, really focusing and helps them to put their attention on what's divine. But there's tons of things to experiment with. So maybe see if you can fold something in your week. And then trust that God will bring the next things forth. When Kate said, if we don't pray, there's nothing after that, I caught a glimpse of the void, of what it would be like if we were in the nothing after that, if there had been no initial prayer. And the words from the beginning of the Gospel of John came to me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was the whole beginning of everything. And I imagined, what if that was God's prayer? If God prayed us all into existence, if the reason we are all here is because God prayed for us specifically to be here, and that our prayers are a continuation of that original creative prayer of God. Amen.